So, my friends, we continue with this Anapanasati. And the topic is the 14th step. One trains oneself, breathing in, observing, fading away, or a different translation is, one trains breathing in, observing, fading away, observing dispassion. And this word translated as dispassion, the word is viraga, V-I-R-A-G-A. It doesn't quite work for some English speakers because over time the word passion has acquired many positive associations and connotations, definitions in English in some circles. And the original meaning of it, that the passion of Christ, where it meant suffering, is kind of lost. But I think still there's remnants in English that a passion can have negative connotations. You know, it is a source of suffering. So, someone has a passion for power or passion for sex or passion for, it's an intense engagement in something. An intense engagement can be very painful. So I want to talk a little bit about this dispassion, this viraga, maybe with an indirect way. So Buddhism is often considered a religion. And once it's called a religion, it's reasonable for people to try to understand what are the fundamental tenets and beliefs of this religion. And in doing that, it's kind of looking at the generalizations, just big universal statements about things. One of the universal statements is that Buddhism emphasizes that everything is impermanent or inconstant. Usually people say everything's impermanent. And then we have this universal statement, and then we're contending with this universal statement, like, is this really true, and is this always the case, this seems like, maybe rather depressing way of seeing everything, or all kinds of reactions to this, almost like a philosophical statement, general statement, as if it's, some universal truth that Buddhism teaches. And so looking at this universal statement as a, to understand Buddhism is one approach. I think the practice approach to understanding Buddhism is not to understand Buddhism in the abstract, but not begin there, but to begin with oneself and one's own experience. So to the degree to which Buddhism emphasizes the possibility of being free from suffering, then we begin with ourselves. And look, what is suffering here that I have? What's my pain, emotional pain? What's happening here? And they say it's possible to be free of it. Well, how could I become free of it? What does it take? And in this very personal kind of exploration and feeling and being here, then Buddhism says, well, if you really look carefully at your experience, you'll see that there's a very close connection to the experience of inconstancy, change, transiency, impermanence, and our ability to ease up from our suffering, to soften it, to calm it down, even to have it fade away and disappear. And so we see then, in this kind of going from this direction, more personally, the purpose of seeing inconstancy is not to have some universal theory and belief and philosophy about life, but rather it's a pragmatic, practical idea that in the observation of change and inconstancy, this is an antidote, this is a medicine for what Buddhism calls suffering. And there's something that eases up when we can really kind of feel the flow and be in the current of change. And whether impermanence and constancy is a universal philosophical, universal metaphysical concept or other is really besides the point. The point is that we're pointing to inconstancy and impermanence because of its value in helping us loosen up, lighten up, free up the places we get caught. And that's enough. We don't have to then make a big leap of philosophy to make a universal claim about, now I know something about, you know, the fundamental nature of the universe, the physics of the universe, that everything is impermanent and changing all the time. It's an interesting idea, but that idea is not really what, you know, Buddhist practice is about. But as we see things shifting and changing and transitory nature of phenomena, and we get more interested in the process of change, the process of inconstancy, than we are with the content of our thoughts, content of our feelings. Many times we're focused on the meaning of things or the content, the purpose, the what's really, you know, the ideas and the particularity of what is going on. But in a sense, at this point in Anapanasati, we're stepping back, and the particular what we're thinking is not that important. Just to see the thinking itself is an inconstant phenomena. It comes and goes. Probably you've had some of your thoughts repeatedly. They've come and gone for days and weeks, months, years, and they just come and they go. And after a while, if you see how much they come and they go, maybe you ease up about it. And and also with our emotions, sometimes the meaning of the emotions, the story around them, even the emotion itself, what emotion it is and what it means to have that emotion and how it reflects back on ourselves as a human being comes into play. But at some point in meditation, we shift from all that complication to not even caring whether it's sadness or joy, but rather tuning into how the process of how it is a shifting and changing and morphing and moving and coming in and out of existence, and how attention, awareness picks it up and puts it down, gets distracted by the train whistle, and for a moment is not sad because it's just a train whistle. And then we pick up, then we're aware of sadness again. That has arisen. And then we hear more whistles. And, you know, it's all this kind of going and coming and going. And it's that coming and going that begins to loosen up. It's like a lubricant that begins unsticking the ways in which we are kind of uncontrollably caught in our emotions, or in our activity and our motivations. So, and one of those is raga. And raga can be translated as passion or lust. When it's translated as lust, some people feel like it limits it too much to sexual passion. But one way of, it's uncontrollable, the one definition in the Pali Text Society Dictionary is uncontrolled excitement. So there's something about, I like to think of it as drivenness. When there's a drivenness to our drives, a drivenness, we're driven by lust, driven by greed, driven by hatred and ill will. And there's some way in which something has taken over control and we're not in control anymore. This power, that level of passion. Describing the way I do, it seems kind of dramatic, but in all kinds, as we get quieter and quieter in the mind, we see the subtler and subtler ways in which we're caught in the grip of certain drivenness. Anybody who meditates tend to see that, you know, that how surprisingly how much we get swept away in our thoughts or pulled into our thoughts, caught in our thoughts. That represents a little bit of uncontrolled excitement or interest or engagement. As we settle back into just observing, we can see that this doesn't serve us to be involved in this uncontrolled drivenness and caughtness and preoccupation. And so there starts to becoming this process of disinterest, losing interest in continuing to doing that. I've had the same thoughts for months now. I'm not interested in doing it anymore. I have the same preoccupation with certain emotions and feeling as if they're the most important thing, and I'm not so interested in it anymore. And I don't want to give much more attention to these things. I've given so much attention to them. I've been kind of driven to pay attention to my anxiety. And I think it's okay to put the anxiety to the side. And I know I'm anxious, but I don't have to be so driven by it. And I can ease up. I can just observe it. I cannot be so involved or entangled with it. And so the movement to being non-driven, movement being the dropping of compulsion, is this thing called viraga, this fading away, this dispassion. And it's very closely connected to freedom. It is a kind of freedom. And after a while, we begin appreciating that freedom is sweet. Freedom is a breath of fresh air. Freedom is a kind of joy and delight and vitality and a kind of health, a healthiness. And so to begin to feel that, have a feeling for, a sense of freedom as we observe. There's freedom in the observing. And that freedom in the observing is a guide, a support to lose interest or lose our preoccupation with, our drivenness with the things that we're caught in. And so there's this fading away of compulsion, of that a process that some translators will translate as dispassion, a movement towards dispassion, towards freedom. The word viraga is a celebrated term in India, more often than not. It's a kind of akin to, it's, to liberation itself, the freedom itself. And the end of raga, the end of compulsion, drivenness, lust in all its forms, passion in all its negative forms. And it comes in a peaceful, it can come with a peaceful way. I like to think of this whole process as a process of settling into ease, easing up, relaxing, softening, fading away into not into nothing so much, but fading into a peaceful, happy, healthy, liberated way of being. So breathing in, observing fading away. Breathing out, observing dispassion as it comes along here. So thank you, and we'll continue with this. And I apologize, I didn't check my calendar, but I believe that on Friday we could do another session where afterwards, if you want to stay and ask some questions. That was very nice last Friday, and as we're doing this Anapanasati, maybe it's nice to for you to have more questions about this. So thank you all very much.